الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, my young friends, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, we find ourselves in the season of revival. We see that the sun is out and the flowers and the plants are starting to sprout. And this is from the signs of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how He brings the earth back to life after it has gone dead in the winter. But my brothers and sisters, this revival, the season of spring, is also a reminder for us that two seasons have now passed since the current wave of oppression started against our brothers and sisters last fall. And we find ourselves still in the situation where there is a feeling of helplessness. And we continue to witness the intolerable oppression that continues to be exerted upon our brothers and sisters with countless, you know, fatalities, countless injuries, countless hardship and pain. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant relief to our brothers and sisters there and everywhere. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to envelop them and all of our brothers and sisters in His special mercy and protection. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to deal with the oppressors, because indeed none of us are able to deal with them, and only Allah can deal with them. May Allah make it easy. Allahumma ameen. My brothers and sisters, we are witnessing a large growing number of protests across the United States, in college and university campuses, in support of Palestinian human rights. And these students and professors, many of them high-ranking professors, are camping out, they're protesting, and many of them have been brutally arrested as well. A heavy-handed crackdown is what we are seeing in a number of cases. But this gives us an opportunity, my brothers and sisters, to discuss the question with regards to protests and demonstrations from an Islamic perspective. This is a question that comes up from time to time. And this is a question regarding which we find, perhaps you can say, opposing views. And the reality is that for such questions, the context truly matters. Right? As it is often said, that in order for a fatwa to be given, the one who is giving the fatwa, the mufti, needs to be aware of the circumstances of the questioner, needs to be aware of the context of the questioner. And the questioner has to describe the situation accurately in order to receive the accurate fatwa that would apply to that circumstance. So such questions, they rely heavily on context. But before we to discuss it, let's take a step back. Generally speaking, we know that we are enjoined to do certain things. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to stand up for justice and truth as witnesses to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Two places in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُنُوا قَوَّامِينَ بِالْقِسْطِ شُهَدَاءَ لِلَّهِ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُنُوا قَوَّامِينَ بِالْقِسْطِ شُهَدَاءَ لِلَّهِ. So, وَكُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ لِلَّهِ شُهَدَاءَ بِالْقِسْطِ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it in two places, in Surah Al-Nisa and Surah Al-Ma'idah. And we know that we are instructed to speak up against oppression, as a man asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that ayyul jihadi afdal, that which jihad, which struggle is the most virtuous. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, kalimatu haqqina inda sultanin jair, to speak a word of truth, of justice, of fairness in front of a tyrant oppressor, a tyrant ruler. And we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, watawasaw bil haqq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tells us that we should be people who promote and who side with the truth. And the clear hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam with regards to, you know, effectuating positive change, first through our hands, if not, then through our tongues, through our words, and if not, with our hearts. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that that is the weakest form of faith. So this, there is no dispute on these principles. Everyone agrees and everyone accepts that these are injunctions that we find in the Quran and in the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The question is, my brothers and sisters, is how to go about it. Now, most of the evidences, arguments against, you know, protests and against demonstrations, they assume a few things. Those rulings assume a few things. So first of all, they assume that they are being done as an act of an act against a Muslim ruler, or as an act of rebellion against a Muslim ruler, number one. They also assume that the protests and demonstrations will be disruptive, as oftentimes they tend to become, and that they will involve activities which are haram or which are blameworthy, which will cause chaos and disorder in society. So this is another one of the assumptions in this ruling. They also consider that there is no precedence from the in the actions or from the actions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba for protests and demonstrations as we see them today, which of course is true. And the position rather is that any concerns with regards to dissatisfaction, any concerns with regards to wrong that is or evil that is being committed, it should be advised or should be expressed privately. That it should be advised privately to the ruler, and it should not be done in this form. And that is the position with regards to prohibition of demonstrations and protests. On the other hand, if we look at the other side of the issue, it can be argued that, you know, gathering in large numbers was something that had a psychological effect on the adversaries of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and of the Muslims. And on multiple occasions, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba did gather in large numbers, like the 1400 or so who joined the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in going from Medina to Mecca in wanting to perform the Umrah, and they were prohibited from entering Mecca, and therefore, you know, that led to the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. Or, for example, the 10,000 who entered Makkah al-Mukarramah for the conquest. Now, the Muslims did engage in civil disobedience as well, what would be termed as civil disobedience today, by worshipping openly in Mecca, when they were in small numbers, especially after Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu accepted Islam. That was something which was not allowed. They weren't supposed to do that. But they went against the norms of society. They went against the rules, so to speak, and they challenged the rules, and they engaged in what we could arguably call civil disobedience. They also reportedly engaged in showing their growing numbers in a type of, you can say, rally or a march in the streets of Mecca. Now, more recently, we have seen the effects of protests and civil disobedience by African Americans, by blacks in the United States, in the fight for racial equality, and the same against apartheid in South Africa as well. And there are many other examples where there have been movements of people who have resisted and who have stood up against injustice, against oppression, against things which were wrong. And history has shown that their efforts did lead to some positive results. So the reality, it seems, my brothers and sisters, is that protesting is a means which can have positive outcomes, or it could have negative outcomes, depending on a number of factors. And this is what I would like to highlight today, inshallah. Now, in our context here in the West, we know that protesting and having demonstrations can be a legitimate means, legitimate way of raising awareness and getting attention for a cause and putting pressure on governments. We know that this is something which is accepted, and it is actually considered to be a right of types, of sort. You know, the right to peaceful assembly, the right to demonstrate. You know, and this is something which is facilitated actually by the authorities. So if you want to organize a demonstration, you can go to the city, you can talk to the police, you can get a permit, you know, and many cases actually the police are there to assist you and try to come up with a route and a plan that is, you know, going to be least disruptive and, you know, that respects the right to protest, but also balances public safety and access for the public as well. So this is something which is facilitated generally in these countries. However, my brothers and sisters, there are some very important considerations before organizing or joining a protest or a demonstration. And let me share those with you. So number one, the first consideration is, what is the objective? Because the objective first of all, should be Islamically sound. We cannot be protesting for something. First of all, we shouldn't be protesting for something in a way which we don't know the objective or we don't know what we're trying to achieve, but we just want to go and, you know, express our anger and frustration and just, you know, blow some heat and you know, just let things out. That is not a meaningful purpose for a protest. Okay, so there should be a meaningful objective, and that objective should be Islamically sound, number one. Number two, who are the primary objects of the protest? You know, who are we protesting to? So the message should primarily be geared towards the decision makers, the people in the best positions to effectuate positive change. You know, it should not be to punish or to annoy innocent people. You know, the purpose shouldn't be to cause a massive disruption so that, you know, there is some attention that is given to the cause, and therefore, you know, something's going to come out of that. You know, so it should be focused on the people who are most likely the closest to be able to do something about the concerns or about the issue that is being protested about. Number three, where is the protest? You know, efforts should be made to, once again, minimize disruption to ordinary people. You know, to try to limit the effect to those who are the focus, the objects of the protest. You know, inconveniencing ordinary people, you know, to make them feel uncomfortable or pressured, you know, is likely to be counterproductive. You know, I happened to be at, you know, a place where the entrance to a venue was being blocked, you know, for a few minutes because of what was happening inside. And I noticed that there was, you know, a woman, a lady who was trying to get out, and her car was also being blocked by, you know, by, as part of the protest, but she was trying to leave the venue, and it seemed like she was, you know, she was frantically trying to call, and she seemed to be in a rush. You know, so I said, okay, you know what, let her go, right? There's no point in keeping her stopped. Maybe she has an emergency she has to go to. Maybe she's, you know, late picking up her children from daycare, whatever the case may be. So don't, you know, don't unnecessarily inconvenience, you know, innocent, ordinary people, because it is likely to be counterproductive. And more importantly, on top of that, the Prophet ﷺ has told us about the rights of the roads. What has he told us? About respecting the rights of the roads, and those rights need to be respected. And the Prophet ﷺ said, lower the gaze, refrain from harm, return greetings of peace, and enjoin good and forbid evil. Right? So these are from amongst the rights of the roads, and we have to be careful that if we are engaging in some sort of demonstration or protest, that we are respecting the rights of the road. Number four, the messaging. You know, what are the messages, the signs, the chants, etc., you know, that are likely to be most effective, and which ones are going to be counterproductive? You know, it should not include anything which is considered to be hate speech, as it may, you know, Islamically be wrong and may legally be wrong as well, or at the very least, it's going to end up being counterproductive, right? Because what ends up happening, you know, a large number of people go and they protest peacefully, but because there's one person or a few people who have a certain message which is deemed to be offensive, then the entire protest and the entire gathering gets labeled, and that is what the focus goes on, as opposed to the actual issue that was being talked about. So the messaging is very important. Number five, peace, order, and good character. Right, there's probably nothing more destructive to a cause than chaos or violence or poor character. Okay, and remember that the larger a protest gets, the greater the chances that some troublemakers, some instigators, counter-protesters are going to come, and it's going to turn into a liability rather than a benefit for the cause. Okay, so smaller the protest, the easier it is to manage. The bigger it gets, the more careful you have to be. And also, you know, mind the language, because a protest or being upset or angry is not an excuse for using filthy language. You know, if other people are going around using bad words, you know, for leaders, for the prime minister, for whoever, it's not an excuse for us to go and to do the same thing as well. This is not something which is from the character of a Muslim. Number six, perception. You know, because one of the things that also matters in the society, in these countries, is favorable public opinion. It is a great tool that can help the cause. So the question is, consideration is the protest likely to improve public opinion for the cause and for the participants? Or is it likely to hurt the cause and the participants. You know, if people are already, you know, looking down upon you, your cause, and your group, and then you end up doing something which is going to do more of the same, it's going to lead them to do the same even more, it's not going to help the cause. Number 7, alliances. You know, joining forces with other groups to increase the numbers can be great. And there's Islamically nothing wrong with building alliances. The Prophet ﷺ also was part of an alliance for social justice, right? To get justice for people. And the participants in the alliance were not Muslim, right, at the time. So there's no issue with alliances. However, it can be risky if you end up joining forces with the wrong people, with groups that have lowly character, or they're problematic in other ways. So you need a high level of awareness and understanding before making alliances. You know, generally I'm perfectly in favor of making alliances, but there are some important exceptions. So don't just align with anyone who says, oh, I support your cause, oh, you're doing a great job, oh, go, go, yes, we're with you, and they're pushing you forward, and you think they're your buddies, but they're not. Okay, so be careful about alliances. Number 8, Islamic appropriateness. You know, of course, special care should be taken to ensure that Islamic guidelines are respected, especially with regards to dress, with regards to modesty, with regards to lowering the gaze, and free mixing, and respect for prayer times, and so on. You know, if you're, of course, we're in a crowded place, in a march or in a demonstration, but we keep a respectful distance, we ensure that we're not getting too close to people, we're not acting in manners which are inappropriate or which are, you know, make things uncomfortable for others, so we try to be especially careful about that. So in short, my brothers and sisters, the decision to hold a demonstration or a protest should not be the go-to for every cause. Anything happens, you say, okay, we're just going to go, we're going to march. That's not how it should be. And it should not be taken lightly, especially if it is likely to be a large gathering. Now, regardless of whether one chooses to protest or not, we should respect each other's choices. Because not everything works for everyone. Not everyone sees everything in the same way. So just be respectful of what other people choose. You know, if somebody is choosing to go to a protest, respect their choice. You know, if somebody chooses not to go to a protest and they have the reasons, then respect their choice as well. One thing is certain though, my brothers and sisters, is that when we are faced with blatant injustice and open evil, we do need to respond in an appropriate way. You know, the method can vary, but apathy, being in a situation where we say, well, there's nothing we can do, we're not going to do anything, that is not an option. We need to respond in an appropriate way. The Palestinian cause, of course, is front and center. And this, my personal view, is that protests for this cause are generally positive, provided that the messaging is supportive, the chants, the messaging, the, you know, the signs are supportive and assertive, rather than being inflammatory and threatening. If they're inflammatory and threatening, it does not help the cause. It is counterproductive. June is also coming up, and I really do not believe that it is productive or helpful to have nationwide protests against gender identity and homosexuality. Of course, beliefs and actions that go against the fitrah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, against the design of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us, that He has set for us, things that go against that, of course they are immoral, and of course they are wrong. And we must do our part to oppose them like any other evil or any other haram. But nationwide protests, coordinated large protests, like we saw last year, are counterproductive and they hurt the cause further. And I say that as someone who is deeply involved in trying to address these issues. This is what is apparent to me at this time, and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst the people of the truth. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us through these challenges. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us those who respond in the best way possible. Ameen wa akhira da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. We'll take a quick